the American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the National Intel Report, and right out of the chute here, we're going to tell you how you can get the Mastery of War Powers in America, Volume 1, along with four additional CDs. And Marcia, quickly, what are the other four CDs?
The second CD starts with the Affidavit of Public Ministry, that Declaration of Neutrality that takes you through the loop to the neutrality and to the protections of the war powers instead of just being subject. The third one is the Law of Nations so that you can understand the context for it. The fourth one is the Art of War, Sun Tzu, Art of War, understanding also the large context for war. And Gandhi's Seven Steps to Global Change really takes it to a personal level. What can I do about it?
Now, see, Gandhi was derided as being some kind of peacenik, and people that are in a war mentality think that the way to do this is to pick up arms, and as long as you have enough arms and enough people and enough money, you can go bully and beat up and get your own way on the planet. This is what's been happening to this planet for hundreds and thousands of years.
Well, one of the reasons that I like Gandhi's Seven Steps, and it's written by a guy named Deem Malak, and I don't know the background of the book itself, but one of the reasons I liked it because it really did take a personal level. Who am I in my life on a day-to-day basis? How can I be that literally changes the mentality of from war to peace? And it really, when you read it, you see that it doesn't have to be something monumental. It doesn't have to be something, you know, that even that your neighbors are going to see. There's something that happens inside when you commit yourself to peace, and then the little steps follow. One of the things that I kind of tease Desi and her sons and anybody that I come in contact when we're talking about peace. One of the things that usually occurs is those little areas where we're at war with one another come up. Oh, I'm not supposed to be having this anger, this expression, because I'm a peacemaker now. Well, the truth is we have to settle our wars in ourselves. We have to settle our war between our hearts and our heads. We have to settle our wars with our wives, with our families, with our children, and we have to be at peace there first.
How many times have you ladies heard this? That, you know, and we know that this works. We know what the opposition, the globalists that have gotten their hooks inside this country, we know what they want. They want mass demonstrations. They want riots in the streets. They want the cities aflame.
They want belligerence.
They want belligerence. They want resistance to that.
Exactly. There was a peace demonstration in San Francisco. We saw the video this morning.
Westwood, Los Angeles.
Oh, West Los Angeles. Yes, Westwood in Los Angeles. Excuse me. They were with their signs: "Bring our troops home now, peace in America."
Right.
And they brought tanks in. And brought the tanks around the block a couple times and then parked them right in front of the peace demonstrators.
A bigger show of force.
Here's
my military might.
Yes.
So, you know, and folks, if you think as disorganized as this country is right now, and don't get me wrong, this is a double-edged sword. We've got millions of people waking up, but they're trying to look for this short route, this magic bullet, this silver bullet that's going to kill the werewolf that's been eating their lunch. That will come. That will come. But in the meantime, what they are really waiting for is they want the chaos to begin so they can just shut it all down. Once the chaos comes in, martial law, whatever they implement in this country, it's not going to be pretty. And that's when you will see the iron boot on the face for the rest of...
Well, you know. And it's like Marcia, who was over here grimacing while you and I were talking about Texas and its politics and all that stuff.
Wasn't that obvious?
It was either that or was gas.
Well, I'll get to the punchline after this break.
Okay, and we'll tell you again how you can get the five CD set. I said four, five CD set. Listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, you get a break of $30 on this. And remember, it goes to support these fine ladies, and it goes to support this network. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. The Mastery of War Powers in America, available only on Republic Broadcasting Network, an extensive, voluminous, and I do mean voluminous, research put together that it's cognitive, it makes sense. This is real living history, ladies and gentlemen, not the Orwellian memory flush, the old toilet flush that we made a few discoveries here today, didn't we? Turkey Day in this country, you thought it was about pilgrims? It wasn't about that at all. It was about peace being restored after the Civil War in this country.
Let's address Marsh's thing about you were grimacing when we were talking.
Oh, but wait
about
a minute. Let me finish this so I can tell the folks how to get this.
Oh, sorry, John.
Oh, no, that's okay. If you want the 2 through 5 and those titles again, number 2 would be.
Number 2 is the Affidavit of Public Ministry Apostille.
Okay.
The Way Out.
Okay.
Right.
Number 3.
Number 3 is the Law of Nations.
Right. And, of course, number 4, the Art of War.
Art of War.
And why is that important?
Well, because it looks at the context and the strategies of thinking of winning war. Sun Tzu said the highest form of victory is winning without fighting. So that you look at the principles of war to see how to win before you get to the fight.
And he was one of the greatest warriors.
4,000 years ago this was written.
Yeah.
It really is the strategy of thought of victory.
Now, if you want any of these, you can buy them individually, folks, but there's a deal to be made here if you buy the entire package. The Mastery of War Powers, that is $100. That's right, I said $100. Whip out your MasterCard or Visa, or send us a check, money order, we don't care. And you can just simply call us. You know, I can't ever remember.
Number?
Yeah, I can't ever remember our number here. And I have paper in here.
It's coming.
There we go. So many numbers, so many facts, so many people, so many things to deal with every day.
Read it, John.
800-724-2719. Each of the affidavit, the Laws of the Nations, Art of War, Gandhi, these are all $20 a piece plus $385 shipping and handling. If you buy the entire set, now that would add up if you're doing your math. That's right. If you graduated first grade, that means it's $180 normally priced, $150 for the entire set. So you need to call 800-724-2719. Danny has got it up on the web, and it can be purchased by PayPal. Just make sure that all your information is in there. And by the way, folks, we do not keep records, okay? So anything that you purchase at the network, guess what? Next time you call in, hey, I was so-and-so, and 2 weeks ago I bought such-and-such. You're who? So we got to go through the whole process. We don't keep records, okay? That's for your benefit. Now, what? Desi, or
nothing. I was just thinking.
That was a question we had.
How are we going to know to send supplements to these people? Like, I want to do something up on Andrew Johnson and send a supplement.
They'll just have to know to call for the supplement.
Well, they'll have to. We'll work something out.
Okay.
Don't worry. We'll not leave anybody behind here.
Now can I talk? Oh,
yes.
back to you and getting...
Sure, show. I'm just moderating it. I'm just here to take us in and out of breaks, that's all.
You were talking about Wag the Dog.
Yes, that you're talking about all the elections and all the Texas stuff. And for me, I don't even look at that very much anymore. I see all of that as wagging the dog. I mean, it's fairly clear to me that there's a usurper as a CEO of the United States corporation in Washington, D.C. And he was usurped for 4 years and that it was already decided that he'd be then. I mean, this whole thing to me was so theatric and so much wagging the dog that I don't put much of my time and attention there. So I really am about building a new nation. I am really about focusing on something else and removing my attention because I know that where I put my attention is what I create.
But the point is, and I think this has to be stated, I mean, I was talking about a traffic ticket here earlier. And we've got people that are focused on fighting that little thing of the corporation.
Okay, let's talk about that very thing. If you employ Sun Tzu's techniques together with Ralph Winroad's, you can beat him by being at peace, by simply saying over and over, I can't proceed without assistance of counsel. I had a possession charge dropped. I had a DWI charge dropped. They just gave up and quit. They dismissed the charges. And that is the magic bridge. They can't get over that. When you throw the Constitution up to these people, they can't go around it. They can't bring it into their courtroom. And when you stand there with your mouth and say, I can't proceed without assistance of counsel, that's not a fight. You've never pled. You never enter their courtroom because they can't take a plea until you have counsel. And you can't proceed without assistance of counsel. And I'm seeing it work like magic. It takes a while. People had to go back 7, 8, 9 times and say, I can't proceed without assistance of counsel, but they gave up.
But my overall point here is whether you're fighting the corporation over property taxes, whether you're talking about permits to add something to your house or to take something away from it or traffic tickets or whatever the case may be, this is this whole corporate deal. This is this octopus.
Well, they're going to try to snag you however they can. What you have to learn to do is understand who they are and their parameters and how to get around them and win without fighting.
Okay, I understand that point.
If you
but what we're all after here, Desi.
But if you fight at all, if they snag you and you give up one, if you are belligerent in any manner, they win.
And there are a lot of different ways that I've won traffic, because traffic is something that's not terribly threatening. So I've tried a lot of different remedies for traffic.
Well, it just cost me $176.
Well,
no, you just chose to pay $176.
One of the, because you didn't know what else to do. You know,
no,
one
I,
of the things that happened.
No, if I had the time to do it. If I walked away, I can go fight traffic tickets. Okay, if somebody were paying me, okay, for whatever.
Well, that's everyone's dilemma.
Well, let me make this point, because this, I've been sitting here chewing on this for an hour and a half. All right. Folks, we're talking about traffic. We're talking about the evil guy and the property. We're talking about the IRS. We're talking about this whole corporate entity. What must be done, and it eventually will, is there's going to be a stake put in this vampire's heart.
Yes.
Then we're not going to have to worry about the little revenueers out by we're not going to have to worry about the little city inspectors. We're not going to have to worry about the IRS. We're not going to have to worry about any of this stuff.
Well, let me tell you what has been the most effective, quote, stake on a traffic matter that I've ever had. One of the things, because you see the type of research that I do, I was studying traffic. So what did I do? I started at traffic. I started at state laws. I looked at the implementing regulations. I went all the way back and read 23 volumes of Benedict's on Admiralty to understand the context for traffic.
How many volumes?
23 volumes. Now, everybody doesn't have to do that, but I convinced myself that this is just like the Fuller Brush Man coming to your door and saying, I want to sell you a brush. And you say, yes, I want your brush, or no, I don't. But this Fuller Brush Man can leave you a ticket that says you've ordered a brush. Now, when I was much younger, I went to seminars for something, and they said to me at the seminar, when you make this contract in public, you have 3 days, 72 hours, under a provision of Regulation Z called buyer's remorse. So in 72 hours, you can return this to us, and we're required to give you notice that you can void this contract within 72 hours, and it will have no force in effect.
Right.
Now, when they made that offer to you and gave you that ticket, you had that same ability under the rules of commerce to return it within 72 hours and void the contract.
See.
In Admiralty, there's 3 days, 10 days, 20 days. There's all kinds of little time frames
right.
in there.
Now,
know. In 3 days, if you'd written across it, say, oh, my gosh, I have buyer's remorse. I really don't want this contract. Void on its face and send it back.
But you see, my point is running a network, doing the program, talking and keeping everything together, trying to keep everything flowing in one direction without too many parts falling out. It's tough to do. Now, and I feel for the people out there that are going, you know, give me a quick fix here. I want to fix this right now. I don't have the time. Like, you ladies have the time to do this research.
Oh, yeah, sure we do.
Well, no, I mean, come on now. I mean, obviously you've done it. I mean, this has been your mission for the last how many months is to do this, and you've done it.
Yeah, but we do it after we put out the fires, John.
Well, that was my whole point.
Yeah.
Smokey the Bear here, we can retire him because, you know, we can do away with these little brush fires that are constantly nagging us.
Right.
Yeah, because all they are is our diversions to take our time. As long as we're fighting traffic tickets or property taxes or income taxes or whatever, we don't have time to look and say, whoa, we wouldn't have this if we had peace.
And we don't have the time in which this movement in this country needs is to people to commiserate with each other, to share the information, to come together, to organize if they need to or do whatever. We're all running around in our own little realm, either running from something or running to something.
Right.
I would suggest that this Thanksgiving, these people that know now what Thanksgiving is about, that they would gather with their families and they would take the opportunity to pray for peace, because that's what Thanksgiving is about. That is a time to thank the Lord for peace. And if enough people thank the Lord for peace, I think it's going to come here sooner. But no more pilgrims, no more Indians, no more falsehoods.
You mean no buckled square-toed shoes and pumpkin pie?
No.
And in order to have peace, we have to tell the truth about war. This whole notion, I mean, to me, it's just been an absolute, I can't even think it in my own mind, fight for peace. fight for peace. I mean, think about that. That's exactly what we're doing. We send out our troops. We have this. We have a national mentality that kind of will say, well, yeah, we're going to fight for peace. Yeah, we're going to do. How do you fight for peace?
And
because
that was the
minute you fight, you become a belligerent.
And that was the beautiful thing about Gandhi, because he did not fight.
But some would say they killed him anyhow.
But he won.
It's insane.
All right, we'll take the break. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. Are you listening out here, folks? You want your 2 cents or your question answered? Call us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jack Blood here. And folks, I wanted to take a minute to discuss your health. You know, the vicious cycle of treating symptoms of disease with drugs and surgery simply create more symptoms, leading to a greater dependence on the pharma cartels. There is a solution. Herbal Healer Academy, headed by the esteemed Dr. Mirijah McCain, have hundreds of natural products to treat the source of disease and illness. Herbal Healer Academy also provides many natural detox products to protect you and your family against chemtrails, aspartame, pesticides, radiation, MSG, and more. Herbal Healer Academy also provides herbs, vitamins, and correspondence courses so you can become an expert in natural medicine. Herbal Healer Academy is one-stop shopping for all of your healthy living needs. Why not call them now for a free brochure? 870-269-4177 for your free brochure at 870-269-4177 or dial them up on the web at www.herbalhealer.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
I don't know. That's a good question. What's going on? No phone calls today, no orders, no nothing. Are they out there? I don't even know. Do they care? Are they listening? Are they paying attention? Yeah, I'm on. I'm talking.
He knows he's on.
I know I'm
on. We're just wondering where anybody is.
800-313-9443. Come on, folks.
Don't worry.
We could play cards here.
Don't worry, John. Marcia and I can talk all day.
Okay. Well, good. You talk. I'll listen. I'll moderate.
One of the things that was really exciting to me when I went, Cray and I went over to the West Coast and did a trip to meet some people in peace organizations, and it was really pretty exciting. I have been a long time into research and into helping people defend themselves and helping them get out of scrapes and troubles, and so I've been a long time from looking to see how many peace organizations and how many people belong to peace organizations. So it was really exciting to see the number of people that there were in these organizations and the number of members that they had and how much company we really have in the desire to have peace and to express peace. And it was also interesting to see that these people had such a desire for this body of information.
Well, isn't that because everybody, all these people want peace, but they have absolutely no idea how to achieve it?
Well, it basically is like what the classic definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We saw like the LA peace gathering that just happened, the protest against the war and for peace, that, you know, there they were in the streets. Well, they've got the tanks. In the 60s, they perfected those insurrections and those protests, the urban planning and urban warfare to contain those and to make them ineffective and inconsequential. So what we have to do is we have to step out of that. We have to think bigger. I mean, we did a huge thing in the 60s, but with these corporations and rattled the cages and put some of the corporations out of business simply by not buying their products. We did a major search, and I remember when we had looked to see what products were produced by whom, and we didn't buy those products. We didn't, for right. instance, we didn't buy grapes to support the Cesar Chavez. And we were extremely effective. And that's what really rattles corporations is the bottom line.
Well, I understand Halliburton's somewhat rattled these days because the spotlight is on them, and all of a sudden they have accountability. And, gee, they're not very happy because they're not going to be able to make as huge a profit as they've always made.
They've been cut out of this wonderful loop called the Middle East and the war of aggression there.
And another thing I've seen is that in the media, because I do a lot of traveling, and I'll go from state to state and city to city, and you'll see isolated news reports. You see news reports in Texas about Texas, and usually just local reports about Texas. You don't even know what's going on at the other end of Texas. And in Arizona, they don't know what's going on in Texas. They don't know in California what's going on in Oregon. I mean, all of these are isolated. So when you have a peace demonstration and it's minimized in one area, other areas don't even know about it. It wasn't until the Fahrenheit 9/11 that I saw the magnitude of the demonstration against Bush in his first inauguration.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people even in the communications net. I just had a call earlier today from a guy that says, gee, we're carrying from my cold dead fingers for Sheriff Richard Mack's show. And I said, well, that's nice. And they said, well, isn't he on your network? And I go, no. So let's go to Jim in Kansas. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about corporations. If you look on the $1 bill or any bill, it has the Secretary of the Treasury, and then it also has the Treasurer of the United States. Have you ever noticed that before?
Absolutely.
Now, how could it be that you have two top dogs in one treasury?
Well, because that's not the Treasury of the United States. I mean, it's not the United States Treasury, excuse me.
According to the dollar bill, it says the United States of America.
Well, what's the United States of America?
Good question. But I did one thing. I looked up the flow chart or the organizational chart on the Secretary of the Treasury.
Uh-huh.
And on that flow chart, he is the top dog.
Right.
And under him is a whole bunch of offices. And one of them, down there, with nobody under him, is the United States Treasurer. Treasury of the United States. Isn't it possible that the Treasury of the United States is the constitutional treasury, and when America went bankrupt in the early 30s, and that's on the congressional record, that a receiver took over America, and the receiver happened to be the guy that loaned them all the money, which was the Federal Reserve, and they put their man in to run the treasury?
I think that's as good a theory as any. Sounds logical to me.
Well, if that's the case, then... and I've looked up one step further. I took the Treasury of the United States and looked up his job title. And he does nothing but advise. He has no duties.
Well, the Treasury of the United States, yeah, right, that's right, because there is no Treasury of the United States. What is left, I mean, there is no United States Treasury.
But there is an office there.
Right, but what's left is a private treasury. I mean, before we had the United States Treasury, now we have the Treasury of the United States, which is a private agency. Again, we're going to agencies.
Uh-huh. Well, if it's true, though, that the Secretary of the Treasury is indeed, and I've heard on two different talk shows, that his wage is paid by the IMF.
Well, and under the Bretton Woods Agreement, he's paid by the IMF, and what's the other one that pays him? He's paid by two organizations. I can't remember.
We'll figure that out. Hang on a second, Jim.
Hang on, Jim.
Jim, hang on. We'll figure that out during the break. Bill and others, we'll get to your calls right after this.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Hey, Jack Blood here. And folks, I wanted to take a minute to discuss your health. You know, the vicious cycle of treating symptoms of disease with drugs and surgery simply create more symptoms, leading to a greater dependence on the pharma cartels. There is a solution. Herbal Healer Academy, headed by the esteemed Dr. Mirijah McCain, have hundreds of natural products to treat the source of disease and illness. Herbal Healer Academy also provides many natural detox products to protect you and your family against chemtrails, aspartame, pesticides, radiation, MSG, and more. Herbal Healer Academy also provides herbs, vitamins, and correspondence courses so you can become an expert in natural medicine. Herbal Healer Academy is one-stop shopping for all of your healthy living needs. Why not call them now for a free brochure? 870-269-4177. For your free brochure at 870-269-4177. Or dial them up on the web at www.herbalhealer.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Were you able to remember the IMF and what other
entities? It could be the Federal Reserve. I can't.
It may be because that's its member banking system inside the United States. Jim, was there anything else?
Yeah, let me tie one more thing to this. I picked up a load one time. I used to be a trucker up in upstate New York, and I asked for a restroom. The guy says, "Go down the hall. You'll see the sign on the door." So I was going down the hall, and every door had a nice little neat sign on it, painted on there, except for one. It had a piece of cardboard with a string on it. And I looked at it, and it said Department of Human Resources. And I thought, what? What is this? So I picked up the cardboard, and it said personnel underneath there. Red flags all over the place. So I started checking every place I dropped, every place I picked up, clear from New York to California, you name it. And every big corporation no longer had a personnel department.
So,
they all had a Department of Human Resources.
I've often wondered about that because, you know, when I was a kid, it was personnel.
Right.
Now, I got on the web. And I looked for all the English-speaking nations, Australia, England, you know, Canada. And I looked up corporations in all those countries, and by gosh, every one of them no longer had a Department of Personnel. It had a Human Resource Department. I went to Army, Navy, etc. They all had Human Resources. Overnight, we were converted from a person, we the people, to a thing.
To be
we
mined.
The resources.
Yep, to be mined like a commodity or used. You're a resource.
Or owned by a corporation.
Or plugged into the matrix.
Managed through the Department of Agriculture.
Yep. Well, owned by a corporation.
Including the schools are under the Department of Agriculture.
Yes.
You know, that's one thing Jim, hang on a second. This is one thing that I wanted to get around to, is that we're all being programmed. I mean, all the politicians here, Jim, you know, call this country a democracy now. I mean, it doesn't matter if the president, the vice president, John Ashcroft, it didn't matter. Your local politicians, the state governors, it didn't matter. It's all a great big fine and dandy democracy.
Right.
We got to understand that this is a many-pronged attack against the United States. Going through the
no,
higher...
No, it's a many-pronged attack against the people.
The people. Okay. You keep doing that. I'm having a hard day time trying to keep my
yes,
thoughts
the
together
world.
Today.
Include the world in this, too.
Yeah, well, the point of it is that... I lost my train of thought now.
Well... Oh, now he's mad at me.
He won't be mad for long.
No, he's just saying that we're being attacked on all sides.
Oh, I know what it was.
There
okay.
you go.
All right. Through the higher learning institutions, it started there back in the 50s and the 60s. If you look at our school systems today, the public school system, what is not being taught? How are you being conditioned through Hollywood? Who are the people that are sitting on editorial boards and the paper? We've got one fine example down here, the Austin Un-American Statesman. I mean, these guys are as close to... No, I don't need any drops there. These people are close to communists or collectivists that I've ever seen. But it's been gradual. This has been a many-pronged approach
right.
against the people.
But it's really interesting when you observe what you did, because most of these changes take place globally instantly. And when they change a policy in one area, it's across the board, and it's not just a random thing. That was a really good observation, by the way.
Yes, normally they'll do it by force. But
well,
the people that took over America and the world have done it very stealthily,
yeah,
very craftily.
Well, that's usurpation, and it's not allowed.
Whether it's long or short for the duration. Thanks for your call, Jim.
All right.
Bill Veith with answers to questions before break. Uh-oh. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing? What a great show. Thanks.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Listen, the reason I called in real quick, I don't want to take other callers' time, but is it also the World Bank that pays them? I think the Bretton Woods Agreement set up the IMF, the World Bank, and kind of merged them with the Federal Reserve.
So it's the World Bank and the IMF.
Yeah, it's the World Bank and the IMF.
Oh, bless you, Bill. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, I think that was it, and I don't want to take time from other callers, so I'll get off now.
No, don't worry about it, Bill, because we only
nobody's
have one
out
other,
there today.
We only have one other caller. This is supposedly Veterans Day, and I don't know what people are doing. Maybe they're out there vetting or doing whatever they do on Veterans Day, but they ain't calling into this show today.
Well, I'll be. I didn't realize it was Veterans Day. I just went to the post office to mail some certified letters having to do with property taxes and credit card debt and all kinds of things, and the post office was closed.
Yeah, I got my mailing together today, too, and my kids dropped the bomb on me.
So somebody was there, and I said, how come the post office closed so early? And they said, it's Veterans Day. And I said, oh, I guess people that work in private enterprise don't remember all these government holidays because our stuff goes on just the same.
Yeah, it goes on just the same. It's just another day to us, isn't it, Bill?
That's right.
Well, I was not very old when I started looking at all the holidays and seeing those as expression of some kind of war or another, or some kind of battle, or some kind of people who fought battles or who went to battle. And you know, don't get me wrong, I totally appreciate those people who've protected our country and put their heartfelt time in and sacrifice their lives for what they believe in to be a fight for peace. I would love to see when we have, I mean, Thanksgiving literally, and we didn't even know it, is one holiday that we have that is a holiday that is an expression of an appreciation for peace.
No war.
I'm telling you, all just blew my mind with that revelation today.
Isn't that killing
me? I mean, you know, is there anything in the history books that's accurate or true?
Well,
anything.
One has to wonder.
I intend to write a book about it, Bill. I've been studying that very thing, and I've bought history books all the way from 1829. There's a, it's called The Ideals of America, where it takes about the ideals in for citizens and naturalization and for civics classes on up into the current time, because I was listening to a documentary that G. Edward Griffin did, and he was interviewing Norman Dodd, and they said the history books have been altered. So instead of just believing that, I started collecting history books, and at some point in time I will take points and show you how they've been altered
wow.
through actual textbooks.
Boy, we need that, and I would love to see that, because it's so inspiring and enlightening just to see the finally learn the truth, you know, after 50 years of having the truth concealed and being brainwashed and propagandized. To finally learn the truth is very freeing in a lot of ways.
When I read this thing on Thanksgiving the other day, I just thought, it was just like slapping me in the face. And I had a clue, because PBS had a series on recently, several months ago, about contemporary people going out and living the life of the colonists. And trust me, I didn't want to be there. But one of the things they mentioned was about Thanksgiving, because the Indians had their own commerce, they had their own life, and they kind of left the colonists alone. They only came around to trade with them, and they didn't give them fish to put with the corn seed, and you know, they didn't do any of those things. And they mentioned that in that series, and I thought, well, isn't that interesting? I guess that's just kind of spun off through the years, but I had really no clue that it was a proclamation of peace because the war had ended.
I didn't either, but I'll tell you, that makes two Andrews probably our greatest president. Andrew Jackson, who was the last president to successfully fight the central bankers in the 1830s, and then an Andrew Johnson. And
as you know, I always get those two mixed up, because it starts with the J and ends with the son.
Right.
So, yeah. I never know which one I'm talking about.
Well, it doesn't matter, because they were both the only two good ones.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, what happened to Washington? I mean.
Oh, he was okay, but I mean, this is before the real bad subterfuge got started.
We're doing our own Orwellian memory flush here. I mean, let's not forget about Jefferson and Washington and Adams.
But those guys were still true. They kept the usurpers out.
Yeah.
And then the next generation, the time we should have had the revolution according to Jefferson, is when the bankers tried to come in.
We were too busy killing redcoats. That was a self-cleansing process there.
In order to get peace.
In order to get peace. No, not peace. I don't know if we got peace or not. In order to have our own plot of ground at which we could lazily sit by and watch somebody else steal it again. How's that one?
Right.
Bill, anything else?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
I'll hang up and keep listening. Okay. Great show.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
Bill in Texas, another Bill. That was Dr. Veith, by the way. Bill in Texas. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi.
I just wanted to call in and maybe expand the discussion that you guys are going on in terms of, because you mentioned earlier you're talking about commodities, and you talked about commodities and how that relates to your mind. And
wait a minute, you lost me.
Well, you're talking about
human resources, right?
That subject.
Okay.
And there's really no accident in terms of why that was relabeled, because if you look at, you know, the history going way back in, like, say, the transition from feudalism, and it was the merchant class that took over. And it's the merchant class now that basically runs the world. You know, you can call them the economic elite or whatever, but they're the ones that control the flow of commodities.
We call them corporations.
Yeah, we're calling them corporations at this point. But in their worldview, everything is a commodity. And your mind, even your ideas, are commodities in their minds. You know, in terms of how they see the world.
Right, and you're bought and sold at all times.
Yeah, and everything about this planet that we're living in at this point. But kind of what I wanted to point to was in terms of how that relates to this, like, left-right dichotomy. And you have capitalism and communism. And really the mistake that Marx made is the same thing, which is the fetishization of commodities. Because what they really care about, because Marx was, you know, a workerist. He cared about, you know, he thought production was a good thing, but really what we're doing with commodities is we're destroying everything else that's sacred about this world we're living in, so that it can all be ground up and used as a way to basically obtain power.
Well, but that's the power of war powers. By always keeping things in turmoil and chaos, behind the scenes, these corporations do what they want to and take over, and they control us at all times. And if we get in the way, well, they give us a traffic ticket.
Well, this is one of the plans also. I mean, in this country, we got introduced into higher learning circles about collectivism and the wonderful high points about that and how wonderful that is. This collectivist idea that somehow that some poor schmuck somewhere is going to create enough wealth that we can redistribute this to everybody and make everybody happy. It never worked. Communism does not work. Democracy never works because they vote themselves right out of, well, kind of like we have here in this country. They vote them right out of themselves right out of house and home. That means us. Bill, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, workerist. I think the working class idea, I think that's where he was going after. I mean, Marx was big into classes.
Right, and the worker.
The working class. Mm. The idea of the unions in this country. I mean, where did that come from?
Well,
collective bargaining. I mean, if you just take a look at all of this. But again, that was to pit one another. I mean, think about this, folks. I said these to the delegates up in Republican National Convention. I mean, some of these are pretty high muckety-mucks. I said, do you remember 10, 15 years ago? You didn't tune into a television program and see some neocon arguing against some collectivist. You know, you didn't see that happening. The collectivist idea was introduced into this country. The idea that your government here should, by way of entitlements, because we're so rich that we can't leave anybody behind, can't leave any sick or poor, deaf or dying in the streets. Folks, this engine, this economic engine in this country created so much wealth. It spilled over. You didn't need government programs. You didn't need them in retirement benefits or medical benefits or this benefit, that benefit. This is all a collectivist idea.
And we had a direct claim on that wealth. We had a direct relationship with pulling the minerals out of the ground, with the trees in the forest. The National Forest Act was put together. It was the purpose and intent of the National Forest were to set aside the forest land to protect the custom and cultures of the communities around which they were set aside.
And you could pan for gold and take it down to the mint and have it struck.
And you kept what you earned. Is that your labor was your wealth, your resources, your agriculture. You had a direct and hands-on relationship with real wealth. We're so far removed from that. Try to pick up a gold pan and go gold mining. 26 different regulatory agencies will descend upon you.
Well, and if you got it, where would you go to have it struck into a coin?
Well,
you can melt it down and stick it in your cavities.
Well, but that's what mints were for.
Let's go to Gene in Louisiana. Hello, Gene.
John.
Hi.
Y'all were talking about eminent domain at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to put my two cents in.
No, I think that was last hour with Jack.
Okay.
But it's okay. We talked
right.
about him.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's okay.
That's quite all right. Because,
keep on going.
Because that's exactly what is happening in our country. Because of the cost of war, the eminent domain is being exercised against all the resources. The resources are actually committed for the costs of all these wars and all these struggles and all this war power that's being exercised.
And besides that, we talk about eminent domain on other shows. But you go ahead.
Well, there's a case where the man's name was Sweet, and the case is not listed anymore because what he did, he filed a lien against his own land for, like, say, $250,000 or $500,000 or $10 million.
Right.
So when they came to take his land, they had to pay the lien off first before they could take the land.
Right. Of course.
And I've used the same thing against the sheriff here. I haven't paid property tax, and he comes after me, so I've got $250,000 on the land. If
you just
pays
got a friendly
me,
lien.
Yeah, I've got a... Now, it cost you a little bit to record the lien.
Right.
But he's going to have to come up with $250,000 if he wants to take it from me.
Right, because it's first come, first serve.
And I put it on a UCC-1, too. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But if someone wants to to save their land or get the real value out of it, just have them put a lien against their own land.
Right. Yeah, that's
not
a good
property,
thing.
Land.
Smart idea.
That's my 2 cents, ladies.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thanks. That's worth about 4 cents, but it's good information.
Mick in Texas. Hello, Mick.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hi.
I have kind of a question about ownership. I got a shotgun that I pawned. Should be open. I'm sorry. That I pawned, and the FBI and ATF are saying that I got a warrant out somewhere. Oddly enough, I can't find this warrant, and they can't tell me. And I was just kind of wondering, like, do I still own it? I mean, is it worth it? I mean, earlier I heard you guys saying, you know, you got to pick your battles, and I would gladly
Did you say it is at a pawn shop?
Yeah.
So you pawned it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your property.
Right.
You have the receipt for the transaction.
Yep.
And you have a contract, you're going to go back and try to claim that?
Well, who's saying that you can't?
The FBI. ATF.
And why are they saying this? What do you have to do with the FBI and your shotgun? Was it involved in a murder case?
No, but the Brady Act, I guess, I didn't know this, but the Brady Act not only includes felons and stuff like that, but if you have a warrant out, you might be such a threat that they just can't give you. We're talking about a single action, I mean, break loading.
Well, I've seen something like this before. One of the things I saw in California, there was a gal who pawned a gun, what happened was she had a conviction for some minor domestic violence kind of thing. And in California, what they did is they set aside all of these domestic violence provisions in the penal code. That you could not own a gun after you were convicted of these provisions. And then gradually they started adding more and more and more sections of the penal code that came under this, and then made them all, I mean, they applied them retroactively to anybody who had any of those, and they found this woman to be, that she couldn't have this firearm, and they charged her with a crime for having it, for being one of those people who had that kind of an offense. It is like we were talking about before, a very stealthy and lethal encroachment. And one of the things that you might want to consider doing is asking the FBI what authority they have to interfere in your private contract with this pawn man.
Whether you got a warrant for whatever, it's none of their business.
To bring forward, and you might want to think about what we were talking about before, the waiver of tort. I'll agree to you damaging me for this, whatever you're claiming, and then you set a different contract. You put a value on that.
All right, Nick.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I would just like to, you know, I mean, if they want, hey, I'll gift it to them. You know, I just want out of the hassle. You know, is basically where I'm coming from.
It's a single shot. Just tell them to line up and look at them through the business end. Mick, thanks for your call. Doug in Austin. Hello, Doug.
John, hi, Desi. How are you?
Hi.
Really good. Listen, I've been reading, trying to get my head completely around, you know, what is the ultimate power that's, you know, raining down on all of us and all through all the corporations and everything and control different governments and things. And I came across a really interesting article on the web just the other night about the Black Pope and the Jesuits at that level. I wonder, how do you feel that fits into this whole mess?
Boy, you just hit a nerve that's probably going to take a half hour. Desi's laughing too hard here.
I'll tell you what, you'd be much more, if you look at home and settle your wars and look for peace, your attention would be much better used.
Marcia, that's not an answer. I mean, he's talking about somebody that's put information out there about the Black Pope and the Jesuits and how they play into the world order and who owns what.
Well, you know what? The ones that don't like the Black Pope and the Jesuits like the Masons. So, you know, either the Masons did it or the Jesuits did it. That's what Marcia and I make that joke all the time.
Or the Jews did it.
The guy I was reading was claiming that the Jesuits actually control even the Masons, and then it all falls downhill.
That's what I said. We Marcia and I bet this thing back and forth all the time as a joke. Is it important?
Does it contribute to the well-being of your life to have that information?
But here, hold on. You know, is it important to have any of this information? I mean, because this is information, what the gentleman's talking about, and I'm familiar with it. but it's information that we impart to one another. See, you just can't walk into somebody's life and say, hey, I'm going to offer peace, because they don't even know what war is being waged against them. This is informational stuff, not necessarily the Black Pope and the Jesuits. And I've heard that argument.
I haven't studied the issue, but I did ask Cray about it, and Cray lived in Rome, and he said this just doesn't wash. So that was good enough for me.
Okay, well.
Well, I would think that it would be more valuable to go and look for something like the United Nations Biodiversity Treaty that literally is the piece of research that you need to see how you've been separated from your own wealth and to look to see how you can reunite with that. That may be interesting information, and I'll tell you what, I read everything. At one point in time, I took 6 truckloads of papers to the dump that didn't wash over time. It may be interesting information, and it's useful to know, and it's useful to know that it's out there, but unless it contributes directly to you finding the expression of war powers and settling your wars and moving to peace and even thinking, when we have our hands back on our own resources, we can rebuild our economy, we can rebuild our country. And those things I consider to be useful.
Now, everybody calls in at the end of the show.
Okay.
All right. Wait a minute. Yeah, but I've still
Doug? Got... Doug?
Yes?
Another time, my friend. We've got 3 people holding. We've got to let you go. Greg in Iowa. Hello, Greg.
A couple of things. One, of the fellow with a shotgun, I have to add that in first. What he needs to do is, there's no such thing in law as word of mouth. You've got to have paperwork.
Absolutely.
He needs to go down to the pawn shop and give the man the pawn ticket, and say, I want my gun.
Right.
If the man can't come up with any papers from the FBI,
then he has to give it to him, doesn't he?
Then they have to give it to him. If he doesn't give it to him, take your cell phone and dial the law and have him walk in, so that when the confrontation occurs, the local law has to refuse you as well. Now you put him to contest on
Absolutely.
The legalities of the whole thing. You put him on record. And if the pawn shop owner doesn't give you a shotgun at that point, then you tell the law officer next to you, get out a complaint. I want to file a formal complaint against this man.
That's right. It's theft.
He no longer
point.
Is loyal or obedient or whatever you want to call it, subservient to the FBI at that point, because they didn't furnish him the papers.
And the guy that hawked his gun didn't contract with the FBI.
No,
and the FBI
guy that hawked his gun has what you call like a custody. It's not an ownership, like a watch. When you take your watch in, the watch repairman gets custody.
Right.
He's not to give that watch up. He's supposed to give it in safekeeping for the owner.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So now the other thing, John.
Well
gotta,
said. Good
gotta,
advice, Greg.
I've got to challenge you on one slight thing.
Yeah.
Communism works. And the reason I say that is you need to know your definitions of these various political systems. A form of communism that we've had since day one is the Postal Service. It's government-owned, not privately owned generally. It actually was illegal at one time. It might still be to even have a Postal Service. They put people out of business to try to start a private Postal Service. That is a communist enterprise owned by the federal government. Another service is the bus service. Your local municipality runs a communist bus service that's supposedly non-profit. Generally, is it subsidized by property owners in the local communities because
Handling.
It doesn't make any money.
Right.
These are communist enterprises that work in America. If you, it's not unheard of.
They
to have
work?
Communism mixed in with other forms of government or enterprise.
They work.
Well, they work.
Why do they work? Because we don't have an option for another for anything else. Look,
well, they work at someone else's
expense.
The
point is, you could have a better system which makes a profit. I grant you, but they do work. They just don't work at a profit, and that's the essence of communism. It's publicly owned enterprise without
right.
a profit. Profits are illegal under communism.
Well, you know, the post office keeps raising their rates and won't allow anybody in to compete with them.
Exactly.
And there's other people that can do just as well. Charles J. and others, I'm sorry we couldn't get to your calls today. We had ample opportunity to field calls, but you all came in, and I'm out of time. So that's it. Marcia, Desi, thank you.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate it. Give us a call here at 800-724-2719 for the Mastery of War Powers in America. Total set, ladies and gentlemen. It keeps these ladies, keeps them going, supports the network. Give us a call, 800-724-2719.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.